wonder how many here this morning have seen the movie Slumdog Millionaire. Come out a few weeks ago. Yeah, several of you have seen that. If you have, this little video clip I'm going to show you here will be familiar to you. For those of you who haven't, let me just set this up by saying that Jamal, the boy that you're about to see, is on the Italian version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Indian
version, not Italian version, Indian version. I'm not sure, there's probably a little difference there. He's on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, okay? And he's down to the wire, down to the do or die time. I mean, he's up to 20 million rupees or whatever. I mean, he's down to the wire. He's like going for the $1 million. And let's just watch this and see what happens.
In Alexander Dumas' book, The Three Musketeers, two of the musketeers are called Athos and Porthos. What was the name of the third musketeer?
I'd like to phone a friend.
Here we go.
Jamal.
So here's the question. Do you ever feel like that when it comes to God? Do you ever feel like that when it comes to God? It's like you're down to the last seconds in the game. 20 seconds left in the third period. Bottom of the ninth, bases are loaded. It's like 1 second before midnight. And what's at stake here? Well, let's just say it's life and death, or at least it feels like it from my perspective. I'm out of work and the bill is due. My wife and I have been praying for a child for years, and we're down, we're running out of time, and the test comes back and it's negative once again. My unsaved son has just been diagnosed with a terminal illness. I'm a victim caught in the endless cycle of abuse. I've done this awful thing, and the whole world's going to find out about it in the morning. Or it's my girlfriend or my boyfriend, and I mean, I've given him my heart, and he's just called to say it's all over. And to make matters worse, I've got one call left, and the phone in God's house is still ringing. And no one's picking it up. In fact, I'm here with some of the people from my small group, and we've been on our faces before God most of the night. And it's like, God, if you don't answer here, if you don't intervene in my situation and do it in a hurry... Well, that's where we left Daniel last Sunday. So why don't you get hold of a Bible and open to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. There's some directions for you. If you don't have a Bible with you, I encourage you to grab a pew Bible. I always encourage people to be looking at God's Word in front of you. It helps you when you get home. If you want to find the book of Daniel, here's how you do it. Go to the middle. It'll be in around Isaiah there someplace. And just go to your right, big book Jeremiah, little book Lamentations, big book Ezekiel. You're into 12 chapters, the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2. And that's really where we left Daniel last week. I mean, he was in that difficult place. And just to refresh your memory on the story, Daniel was a young, probably in his teenage years, God-fearing man. He was a young Hebrew. He lived there in Jerusalem, and Daniel was basically just going about living his life. Until all of a sudden, one day, this he sees them in the distance, this huge Babylonian army, and they're marching toward Jerusalem. And they come in and they besiege the city, and they grab Daniel and they yank him away from anything that is familiar to him. He loses his family. He loses his home. And they go in and they take some treasure from the temple there in Jerusalem. And the Babylonians, they carry all of this away as kind of a captive treasure back to Babylon. And Babylon is ruled over by this really rather crazy, wicked king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. But the cause of the crisis here this morning, what you need to understand in Daniel's life here today, is that this temperamental, sleep-deprived king called Nebuchadnezzar, he's been having these recurring dreams. And the reality of the situation is that he can't sleep. You also need to realize that in this culture, dreams were really, really important. It's how they predicted the future. And so you can imagine, for kings, it's important to know what this dream means. And so Nebuchadnezzar does everything he can think of to find out what my dream meant. He has these dreams, these nightmares are keeping me awake week after night after night, week after week, and I got to find out what they're about. And so he does all these things, and so he calls the magicians, and he calls the astrologers, and I mean, he's called every psychic hotline in the phone book. But the reality is, King Nebuchadnezzar is also no fool, because every time he calls, he says, "Look, before you tell me what my dream means, you need to tell me first what my dream was. So you're not going to scam me with any off-the-wall interpretation. You're not going to make this up, because not only do I want to know what it means, I want to know what it was first." And so you can imagine, I mean, nobody's able to pull this off, right? I mean, you can try and make up an interpretation, but, you know, tell me what I dreamt last Tuesday night. You know, anybody want to stand up and give that a shot, right? It's kind of a hard thing to do, and so nobody's able to pull this off. And so typical of ancient kings, this situation drives Nebuchadnezzar crazy. I mean, he's just going crazy. He's so frustrated. It's like, these guys that were paying big money to help me with these kind of things, they're not able to help me. And it's driving him crazy. And so he calls in his hitman, Arioch, and he says, "Arioch, listen, I want these guys executed. Get rid of them. Magicians, astrologers, anyone that has anything to do with interpreting dreams, wise men, I want all of them dead. Get rid of them." Typical response of a king during that time period. But folks, listen, what I want you to see here is that Daniel is facing a very real crisis. The king has ordered his execution. He has the power to carry it out, and it's coming. He's in a crisis. And I believe that brings the story to our house this morning, because even though our situations may be different, we all have those challenges in our lives. I think that brings us to common ground. We all have crises of some sort. If not this morning, it is coming. And so my question for Daniel is, what do I do in a time of crisis? What do I do? Well, first of all, we talked about it last week. He does what he can. He makes some calls. He buys some time. He goes to see the king. He gets some time bought. He travels to his small group. He gets praying with his friends. He does what he can. Second thing he does, and is where we left off last week, Daniel chapter 2, verse 18. He gets together with his friends and he says, "Look, guys, we need to pray. We need to pray. They're coming for me tomorrow. I'm down to the wire. Look, guys, he's going to take us all out. And it's coming tomorrow. We need to pray." And I'm telling you, this would be a fired up all night, on their faces, pounding the floor before Almighty God, pleading with God, "God, you have to do something in this situation." This will be a prayer meeting. Daniel prays. Friends, I believe with all my heart that the sooner we get to this point, the better. Because the overarching theme of Daniel chapter 2 is that everything God does is for His glory. Did you know that? Everything God does is ultimately for God's glory, to reveal Himself, to show Himself real, so that we can see who He is. All that God does is for His glory. It's the reason why you and I were made. Did you know that? Colossians 1:16, all things were created by Him and for Him, for God's glory. Why were you created? You were created for God's glory. Did you know that? That's why you were made, to bring glory to God, for His glory. Isaiah 43:7, bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. My glory. Why does God do what God does? To bring glory to His name. And I'm telling you, you want to see God do some of His best stuff. You want to see Him really show up in a powerful way. I'm telling you, it's here. It's in this place where Daniel is right now. I've come to the end of myself. I can go no further. God, I surrender. From here on in, it's you or nothing. He's come to the end. He's down to the wire. And I'm telling you, it's in that place where God shows up in incredible ways. Why? Because He can truly reveal who He is. Someone has said, when things seem impossible, it's there that God's hand is undeniably present. Only when things seem impossible is God's hand undeniably present. It's in that place. Why does God so often wait to respond? Well, one of the reasons is so that there's no getting mixed up about who did this thing. There's not going to be any confusion. God did it. He's the only one who could do it at this point. And so He deserves the praise and the glory and the honor. So Daniel and his friends plead for mercy from the God of heaven. But here's the real question this morning, and I think the place where most of us live. What will God do then with that prayer? Well, notice what He does here. Verse 19, it says, during the night, interesting, during the night. In other words, not immediately. During the night, often I find that's when answers to prayer, it's like we're down to the wire. It's like a second before midnight here. That's often when God answers. It's in the dark of night. It says, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. The mystery. It's a word that's used actually 8 times here in this one chapter. The Hebrew word there is raz, meaning secret or hidden truth. Truly, we live in a world where there's lots of hidden things, lots of unknowns, lots of uncertainties. I don't know about your world, but sure is in mine. Lots of mysteries. And the reality of Daniel chapter 2 is that occasionally God chooses to reveal that mystery, that secret thing. But friends, listen, and so important that you get this morning. There's no promise anywhere in Scripture that forces God to always respond like He does here. Important to recognize that. In fact, Deuteronomy 29, 29, it says, the Lord our God has secrets known to no one. Secrets known to no one. You're not going to know why. You're not going to be able to understand. And we're not accountable for them. But we and our children are accountable forever for all that He has revealed to us. In other words, worry about what you know and what you don't know. Let it go. Leave it with God. But see, listen, the point is, what God chooses to do or not to do in a particular situation is always His choice. You need to get that. You need to realize that. What God chooses to do in this particular situation is His choice. It's God's choice. And here he chose to reveal this mystery fairly quickly. It came through the night, came during that same night. A similar situation in Jeremiah. It says, 10 days later, the Lord gave his reply to Jeremiah. A little longer. Not tonight, 10 days later. You read the story of Abraham. God said to him, Abraham, my friend, I'm going to make you into a great nation, a mighty nation. In fact, you're going to have all kinds of offspring. Look up at the stars. See all those stars. You're going to have so many kids, you won't be able to count them, like children, like grandchildren, like great-grandchildren. Abraham, I'm going to give you, just going to give you all kinds of children. 25 years later, Abraham's standing there with his wife, waiting for one, waiting for the first one. 25 years into this thing. I could give you other examples of people who have prayed for things all their lives. They're dead and gone, and the answer comes. Great men and women of faith who have prayed for healing, and their loved one still dies. But friends, all of that, I believe, ultimately points to this truth, and that is that, listen, God always, always answers for His glory. For His glory. And the reality is, so often we miss the bigger picture. We miss what's going on behind the scenes. We don't realize what. We can only see the top half of the tapestry. Someone told me one time, God's sovereignty is like a quilt. And we see the beauty that's on the top, but we don't see all the string. Flip that around. We see the string. We see the messed up part. We don't see the beauty that God is creating on the surface. We often don't see what's going on behind the scenes. I'm sure back in Israel, Daniel prayed every night that God would keep him safe. I pray that. It's like, God, keep me safe tomorrow. But God didn't. He let Daniel get captured. He had a different plan for his glory. I'm sure here in Babylon, Daniel often prayed for things to return to the way it used to be. God, let me go back to Israel. God didn't answer that prayer because he had a different plan for his glory. And now here with his back against the wall, Daniel prays for mercy. And listen, God chooses this time to answer with a miracle. Why? Same reason he didn't answer back then, for his glory. You'll see that in just a minute. But first of all, notice Daniel's immediate response here. This is interesting. Just imagine this for a moment. Daniel and his three friends, they've been praying all night. It's like 5 a.m., and Daniel has this vision. He sees what he assumes. He doesn't know for sure, but he sees what he assumes must be Nebuchadnezzar's dream. It's like flashed before his eyes. So he's there with his friends. They've been pleading with God. He gets this answer. Put yourself in Daniel's shoes for a second. What would you do? What would you do in that instance? I mean, it's down to the wire. I'm in the crisis. I've been pleading with God all night, and he answers. What would you do? I'm telling you, if it was me, I'd be calling the king. I don't care if it's 5 o'clock in the morning and he's still over there snoring. I've got something he needs to know, and I'd be on the phone. But Daniel's response isn't dependent on circumstances. I find that interesting. In fact, I think that's huge. I think the implications of that are significant for our lives. Daniel's response isn't dependent on his circumstances. Daniel's response to God isn't dependent on his circumstances. Let me ask you this morning, is that true of your situation? Am I allowing my faith in God to control my response? Or am I allowing my circumstances to rule the day? It's one or the other. Corrie ten Boom, in her book, The Hiding Place, And some of you have read that, you know that story, but she tells the story of her and her sister Betsy being transferred to Ravensbrück, one of the worst German Holocaust camps at the time. And when they enter the barracks, not only does she realize that it's extremely overcrowded, but she also quickly notices that it's infested with fleas. Corey says there was just fleas everywhere. Morning or two later, they were reading scripture and they came to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Betsy, reading to her sister, read these words out of scripture. It says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." And the story goes that after reading the verse, Betsy turned to her sister and she said, "Corey, that means we have to thank God for these fleas." Well, Corey said, "It took me a while." But she said, Betsy wouldn't let up. She said, "At the time, it made no sense. I couldn't understand why I would be thanking God for fleas. Eventually, I thanked him anyway." Several months went by, and they began to realize how free they were to read Scripture, to pray, to share their faith with the other prisoners. They were experiencing the presence of God in incredible ways. They'd never had this freedom before, and they began to think about that, and they realized the guards weren't coming near because of the fleas. They weren't going to come near that barracks. Now, I know that's a pretty extreme story, but I think it illustrates the point well, that our response to God should never be based on our circumstances. Listen, God is at work in your situation. But see, you need to understand this, that he is answering for his glory, for God's ultimate glory. And that may look really, really different than what I was hoping for, than what I was expecting. But notice Daniel's response here. He does what's right regardless of the circumstance. Why? Because he understands everything God does is for his glory. Everything God does is for his glory. Whether I like it or not, everything God does is for his glory. He gets that. And so notice what he does. Notice what he does first here. Daniel chapter 2, verse 19. It says, just after this vision comes, it says, "Then Daniel praised the God of heaven." I'd be on the phone. I'm telling you, I'd be on the phone. I don't think I'm this good. I don't think I respond. I haven't got that. I just haven't got that down yet. But it says here, then Daniel, he gets the vision, and the first thing he does is he praises the God of heaven. He says, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever." You say, what's so special about God's name? Well, in Scripture, name always refers to character. And so what he's saying there is that I praise the character of God. I praise God for who he is. That's why he goes on here to say wisdom and power are his. Listen, God is wise. God is wise. He makes no mistakes. God is powerful. Nothing's too hard for him. He changes times and seasons. It seems to me that so many of the questions in my life revolve around that thing right there. It's like, why now, God? Why so soon? Or why at this late hour? Why now when things are going so well? Why? It tells me why right here. Because God is in control and he changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and he deposes them. You want to know why Dalton McGuinty is where he is this morning? Because God wants him there. God put him there. He sets up kings. He deposes them. Romans 13:1, it says, those in positions of authority, Stephen Harper, Dalton McGuinty, all of those people, those in positions of authority, they have been placed there by God. He sets up kings. He deposes them. Why does he do that? Because ultimately he's setting something up for his glory. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Boy, how we need that. how we need wisdom and knowledge. God gives that for God's glory. He reveals deep and
Thank you.
really a prophecy of the future, what's coming down the road. Interesting, it's still a journey that's yet future. Started here at Nebuchadnezzar, ends when Jesus returns again. God showed that to Nebuchadnezzar way back there. It really ties in with chapter 7. If we ever get to that, we'll talk about it then. But in a nutshell, the dream is about this huge statue. And each part of the statue represents a different kingdom, a different thing that's coming in the future. And so Daniel's sees all this. He explains all of this to the king. And then notice verse 45. Here's his summary. He gives all this to the king. And then he says, the great God has shown the king what's going to take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. And then the part that I so wanted to get to this morning. Notice the king's response here. Notice what the king does. It says, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered an offering and incense be presented to him. That's okay. He doesn't know any better yet, okay? He doesn't realize that you don't praise the messenger. He hasn't heard that message. But notice what he says here. Notice what King Nebuchadnezzar says. This is a pagan king. Notice, the king said to Daniel, this is a king that has thousands of gods that he worships. Here's what he says. Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. There it is, God getting the glory. God getting the glory. Do you see what's happening there? God is finally getting the glory out of all that stuff that Daniel's been going through. You come here this morning and you say, Jim, what does any of this have to do with me? What's any of this have to do with me? Well, here it is right here. Whether you're a follower of Jesus Christ here this morning or not, you need to know that you're going to go through some hard things, some difficult situations, some humanly unexplainable situations. It's the reality of the world that we live in. We're living in a messed up place where stuff happens. And the reality is, whether you're a believer or a not yet believer, we all go through stuff. We all go through situations. And I'm telling you, there's going to be times when you're in the middle of that situation and you've called God's number, you've dialed him up, and I'm telling you, the phone, it's still ringing. It's still ringing. Where is he? Where are you, God? Pick this thing up. I'm desperate, God. And he's not answering, it seems. And the next time that happens, I want you to think of this story in Daniel chapter 2. Because listen, so much of this doesn't make sense to me. Why would God allow Daniel to go through all of that? Why? Why would God allow Daniel to go through that? Daniel was a good kid. Why? Why does he take him down that road? Why, God? And I believe the primary answer to that question is simply because everything God does is ultimately for his glory. It's not about Daniel here. It's about the king. It's about God getting glory from a pagan king. And God says, Daniel, I'm with you as you walk through this. I'm there for you, but I need to do this for my glory. And he gets it from a pagan king. Ultimately, God will get the glory. See, some of you don't like that. Because you say, well, God's a pretty selfish God then, isn't he? I mean, if God's all about his glory, he's a pretty selfish God. If you're saying that this morning, you don't know anything about God. Because he's worthy of that glory because of who he is. He's God. He's God. The reality is one day he will get the glory. Philippians 2, it says, one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now you think about that. Oprah, Madonna, Hugh Hefner, on their knees before Almighty God, giving him glory after the way they've lived their lives. And so the question I challenge you with this morning is simply this: regardless of your situation, will you choose to give God the glory today? Will you choose? It's easy to choose that when things are going good. You come in, you're all bright and smiley this morning, easy to praise God. I'm telling you, when you're in the situation, not so easy. Not so easy. Why would I do that? Because God's worthy. Because God is worthy of our praise and of our glory. Worship team, please come.